Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. In this morning's gospel, we heard Jesus say, "Do not think that I've come to bring peace to the earth. I've not come to bring peace, but a sword." These words sound violently uncharacteristic of Jesus. After all, isn't he the same one who came to his disciples saying, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." Okay, is it peace or a sword? What's going on here? Today's gospel is a short section taken from Jesus' instructions to his disciples as he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of heaven to the lost children of Israel. He had given them the authority to drive out demons, heal the sick, and even to raise the dead. He has told them how God will care for them as they travel so that they don't need to take extra provisions on the trip. He also told them how to bring the peace of God on the places where they would stay. Now, if you're going around healing the sick, driving out demons, raising people from the dead, you would expect people to be lined up for miles, even around the corner, to see these disciples and to hear the message of good news that they had brought. The words of Jesus that we heard today are a reality check. You may think that people would be grateful for these things, but don't count on it. Jesus is basically telling his followers that they should expect conflict when they faithfully proclaim the good news. It is not that Jesus wants the sword instead of peace. Instead, Jesus wants the gospel of peace proclaimed to a world. But the result of this proclamation is that the world doesn't want to hear it. If you've ever put on the disciples' sandals, you've experienced what Jesus is explaining in this text. Maybe I've told you about an experience I had long time ago, back in the 70s, the touchy-feely days. We all had to take a psychology class, and I'm sure you do still today. And on one day, our class in psychology, the teacher had us break into two groups. And he had us sit in two circles. One was an inner circle, and the other was an outer circle. Those in the inner were the participants. They spoke. That was their job, to talk to each other. Those on the outside were simply to observe the interactions and then discuss what they heard afterwards. Well, for the first round, I was on the outer circle who was observing. The first round went pretty well. No one steered into any controversial subjects. And then came the switch. The observers were now the participants. And my little group was actually kind of shy. But then I, as they say, proverbially stepped into it. I noticed this girl who had a beautifully embroidered ichthus on the leg of her jeans. I have a picture there. If you click one click after the sermon there, I snuck it in without telling the guys. That's a Greek word that means fish, ichthus. And it came to mean for Christian believers, the iota was Jesus, the chi or ki was Christ. Theos is God's, huios, son, and the last one is savior. So Jesus Christ, God's son, savior. And I just was remarking how beautifully embroidered the leg of her jean was, and I really appreciated it. Everything would have been fine if I had just shut my mouth up right there. But then I said, I'm a Christian too. Whoa! A guy in the group just exploded all over me. Can I tell you I was a little bit uncomfortable? Yes. I even spoke to the guy after the class, and needless to say, he wasn't real open to an ongoing friendship with me. So here's the point Jesus is making. When Jesus states that his gospel will bring the sword, he is simply telling the truth that the world will use the sword against those who proclaim the gospel. And he's simply telling those who faithfully proclaim the good news that they should expect violence against them. Jesus told the disciples that violence will even come from family and friends. Jesus said, I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a person's enemies will be those of his own household. How tragic. Again, it is not that Jesus wants it to be this way, but he knows that sin, death, and the devil will do everything in their power to strike at the proclamation of the truth of the gospel, and they will use the ones we love the most to attack us. What this means is that we may at times, must at times, go against family in order to remain faithful. And that is the point Jesus was making when he said, whoever loves his father and mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not pick up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. You see, we who confess our faith to the world have the most wonderful, soul-saving message of peace to share with everyone. God Himself has come down from His throne to live among us. He has taken away all of our sin, and He has taken that sin, and He has been punished for that sin that we all deserve. He has absorbed the total punishment and judgment of God against all our sins to the point of, yes, dying on the cross. He has proclaimed that His sacrifice on the cross was sufficient as He rose from the grave. And now He reigns in heaven and prepares a place for us to live with Him in paradise forever. And to top it all off, it's free. It's free a gift. It's very expensive, costly to Jesus, but it is absolutely free to us. Even the faith that receives it all is a free gift of the Holy Spirit. It's all free. Now you'd think that a message like that, every man, woman, and child would want it all. But Jesus says, think again. Jesus told his disciples, and he tells us, as wonderful as the message of the gospel is, many are going to reject it. Even though our message is the most wonderful message of all, it's going to make some people very angry instead of thankful. Even people we love will become angry with us because we are faithful to God. And here's where it gets amazingly tough. It is as if Jesus said, who is more important to you? Your parents or me? Your children or me? You or me? Who's more important? You know, for several centuries, we in the United States have been spoiled in that our family, friends, and neighbors were either Christians or at least respected Christians. As the writer to the Hebrews says, in your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your own blood. Maybe you haven't heard some of the stories that are going on or coming out of the Middle East. Christian parents, and this is probably on more than one occasion, were forced to watch as a mob tortured their children to death because they refused to confess that Allah is God and Muhammad is his prophet. Are you ready to have that kind of an example for your life? This makes my little psychology class episode seem like a childhood schoolyard squabble, doesn't it? And when I begin to understand what we just heard Jesus say in the gospel, I must admit that I am not worthy of Jesus. I can't live up to the standard Jesus sets in his gospel. I am guilty. And I just suspect that you all feel exactly the same way, that living to that kind of standard is so difficult and so hard, you wonder if you could accomplish it. Well, there was one person, the one person in all of history who lived up to that standard, and that was Jesus himself. Try to put yourself in his sandals if you can. There was a time when even Jesus' family didn't believe in him. And while Jesus was still speaking to the people, behold, his mother and his brother stood outside asking to speak to him. But he replied to the man who told him, "Who is my mother? And who are my brothers?" And stretching his hand toward his disciples, he said, "Here is my mother and my brothers. And whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother." Yeah. Jesus left his family behind for the sake of the kingdom of God. And to do so, he must pick up a cross. And his cross wasn't just a figure of speech to be played around with words. Jesus went out bearing his own cross to a hill called Golgotha. He literally carried his cross and on that our sin. He suffered shame, torture, and ultimately surrendered his life for us. He kept the standard that you and I could not keep. He secured the salvation that we could never attain. Jesus himself suffered the sword that he speaks of in today's gospel. Judas was one of his chosen disciples, a close friend. Nevertheless, Judas betrayed him. The most prestigious members of society backed Pilate into a corner in order to put Jesus to death. The people should have known and loved Jesus the most, and yet they were the ones who hated him the worst. And nevertheless, Jesus bought salvation for them and us as well. Jesus now offers that salvation to each and every one of us. And we receive the benefits of that salvation through the Holy Spirit's gift of faith. Along with that faith comes the comfort that carries us when the world responds to the peace of Christ with a sword, especially when those carrying the sword are people we love. Please don't be confused by this passage. God desires peace. That is the reason He sent His Son into the world to suffer and die. Jesus purchased God's peace with His death on the cross, and we receive that peace that Jesus purchased through the Spirit's gift of faith. The world hates God's peace. That's the reason that His message often brings a sword instead of peace. And I think Jesus gave this instruction today so that we would live in God's peace, fully knowing and not being surprised when we proclaim His peace, that we may also receive opposition and rejection in return. And you know, as I felt that day, it can be very painful and depressing. Don't be discouraged. We will often fail in our witness of the gospel of Jesus. Our faith may seem so small to us as it did to me on that day, but Jesus promised that even a faith as small as a mustard seed can grow into a giant-sized faith. Our outreach in faith, even if it is as small as a gesture of giving a cold cup of water in Jesus' name, sufficient. Jesus said, and whoever gives one of these little ones even a cold cup of water because he is a disciple, truly I say to you, he will by no means lose his reward. God grant that we keep reaching out to a lost world with the truth of the gospel, not holding it over their heads in some sort of superiority, but as fellow sinners needing a God of mercy and grace. So may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.